They compete hard on the field and play to win.
But in real life, they have a greater purpose. It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field with Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Phil Mosher on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I am Rob Motti with Doug Horton. And Pastor Phil Mosher is back from a mission trip to Brazil. Welcome back, Pastor Phil.
Hey, it's good to be back, Rob. Beautiful country, big country, beautiful people. Significant poverty in some parts of the world over there, so it was great to be there ministering to them.
How long were you there?
About 8 or 9 days.
8 or 9 days, and how many people were part of that team?
There were about 23 of us that were part of the team. I had some amazing race stories through the airports trying to catch your next flight, so it was great.
Oh, wow.
It's really good to be a part of
the
team, though.
We'll talk about that a little bit later on in our cross-training segment, but a mission trip to Brazil is pretty cool, and we've been talking about mission trips for weeks now, mission trips to Haiti that Doug's been on, and Pastor Kyle Horner was here last week, and we talked about mission trips. But tonight, our guest has a very powerful story. His name is Matt Mayer, and he was a soccer star in South Jersey. Went to Temple, which is one of my alma maters, and then he played for the Philadelphia Kicks. But then Matt ended up getting injured, tearing his ACL, driving drunk, and he killed a man on the Atlantic City Expressway, and he was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison. But Matt, from every account and any person you talk to, was the happiest inmate that you would ever meet because he found peace through Jesus Christ, and he used that mess that he created as a message, and he spread that gospel in jail, and he has now committed himself to a life of ministry. Tonight, he's going to be speaking at a church in Ocean City, but first, he'll join us live next segment.
Rob, I'm really, really excited about this. There's a personal connection that I have, even though I've never met Matt before. I was given his testimony, his video, which you can just YouTube him, and you can see a lot of his videos. But I've shown his video in my classes for years. I was given it to me by Jim Bollinger, who was the athletic trainer for the Philadelphia Kicks in the past. And he sent it to me, and I was like, this is just a perfect message. Not only is there a Christian theme to it, which it doesn't necessarily come right out and say that, but just Matt's message of forgiveness, of making a decision that determines your destiny. And the class that I show it in is at Rowan Community College, Gloucester County.
Do you show it at Eastern as well?
I show it in every class I possibly can, but it fits for my nutrition class. There's a chapter on alcohol. And so we talk about alcohol, about what is a drink and what it does to your body. But I show this just to show the responsibility that we have in making decisions. And every time that I show it, it's so powerful. It's only about 7 minutes that I show, but there's tears from college students.
Oh,
it just hits them. Because, I mean, as a college student, they're probably making those decisions. They've been out there. They've been drinking. And maybe they've actually seen the effects of this. But his story is that powerful that it just reaches and grabs college students right off the bat. And so I'm really excited to actually get to have him on the show tonight, talk to him, and hear where God's taken him over the last 7 years.
There's a personal story on my side too, Rob, because one day last spring, I picked my daughter up from school at Gloucester County Institute of Technology, which is a public school, and she had heard him personally there in a presentation, and she said, Dad, he took the breath away from everybody who was listening, including, she said, all the students who were sitting there. She said it was the most amazing thing. Well, the college students were in tears, Doug. The high school students were in tears when they heard him personally. She said it was just really amazing.
You know, I link it back to, hey, you don't know if you could be that family that was hit by the drunk driver on the Atlantic City Expressway. And personally, as my kids get older, I don't want anybody on Atlantic City Expressway drinking when I'm driving with my kids.
Well, nobody should be drinking and driving ever, anywhere.
Absolutely.
And this is a prime example of what can happen. And what Matt says is decisions determine destiny, and that's what we put up in our little social media post. That's kind of his message is that decisions determine destiny. But our theme today is going to be beauty from ashes.
Yeah, and you know, it's not only just Matt's testimony, but it's the testimony of the family that suffered this tragedy to be able to offer forgiveness to Matt. And through his testimony, you're going to hear that just lifted the weight off of his shoulders and allowed him to have some freedom by somebody forgiving him, but not saying, hey, we're going to punish you for this, but saying, hey, we understand and we do. Even though it hurts, we still forgive you at this
point. Yeah, if you see that video and you see when he gets forgiven by the son, the oldest son, it'll bring you to tears. But our theme tonight is going to be beauty from ashes, beauty rising from ashes, because only God can really take those ashes and create something beautiful. And all those ashes in our life, they can come in so many different forms for all of us. And we've all, at some point or another, have felt broken, whether we made a terrible mistake like he did, drinking and driving. Maybe we've gone through a breakup. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe you got fired from a job, or you're having financial problems, or you're having some kind of health issue. Whatever life crisis that we may be going through, anxiety, depression, addiction, all of us have felt broken like Matt did. All of us have felt that at some point in our lives. All of us have felt like we've been reduced to ashes at some time or another. But how do you rise up from those ashes? How do you rebound? How do you respond when all your hope is lost? Like when you're at your lowest point, when you feel you have nothing left, when you feel you hit rock bottom, how do you respond? How do you get out of that? For me, that answer was Jesus. For Matt Mayer, that answer was Jesus. And you'll hear from him in a few minutes of how that happened and how that changed his life. But Jesus is the one who's got your back 24/7. He's the one who's there for you 365 days a year. He never takes a sick day. So you're not on your own. You're never alone when you have Christ. But all you have to do, all you got to do is invite him. You got to ask him. You got to invite him in your heart. You got to invite him into your life. And that's when you can rise up from those ashes, and he will help you create something beautiful, no matter what it is that brought you down.
And Rob, you know, we talk about choices, and you said you turned to Jesus in your lowest point. And really, I think we have that choice. And I completely understand in my own life, in my own testimony, I was faced with that decision. Do I forsake everything I've ever learned and trusted about Christ and go the opposite way, or do I embrace them? And that's really a choice, and you have to make that choice on a daily basis. And God only gives us enough strength to get through the day, but we have to make that choice continuously. It's not just a one-time decision. It's over and over and over again, because we're going to get bitter. We're going to get down, and we have to make that decision. Hey, I'm going to reflect on God's promises and his truths and still sing his praises even when I am in despair.
And that's when people see it, and that's when people can be inspired by it, because they can see that you've gone through the toughest challenges, the toughest moments, the moments when you were down at the bottom, you were in that gutter, you had nothing left, you were broken, you were hurt, you were just gone, but you rose up.
Well, you've given this in your testimony recently too, where, hey, becoming a Christian doesn't make it any easier, right? You're going to get attacked, you're going to face some of the hardest trials that you've ever faced in your life, and you're actually encouraging a fight.
Yeah, you are, because it's a constant battle, man. I tell you, I say this every Thursday when I come in here. Every time I come in here, every Thursday, there is a struggle in my life. I get 8 or 9 hours sleep every night. Wednesdays going into Thursday before my show? No, never. Something happens. Last night, I was up till 4 preparing things. My daughter wakes up at 5 with the flu. Guy wakes me up at 8 o'clock because we had the sprinkler company coming over to open a sprinkler. I slept 3 hours. And I'm like, and then I want to go take a nap, which I never do. I don't know how to sleep during the day, and the girls want to hang out with me. So there's always something pulling at you, trying to make, and then Remy comes down, and I'm always a terrible husband and a terrible dad Thursdays before a show.
Well, go back a couple weeks ago when you were preaching at Gloucester County Community Church. I mean, you were a hot mess that entire week.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, I don't even want to preach. I'm not in a good mood. You're like the worst I've ever seen you. And you're getting ready to deliver 3 sermons that week.
And that's the enemy, man. And he's trying to push you. And he's always hammering at you. And he's always hammering at you. He's always hammering. But when you have Jesus, when you don't leave him at church on Sunday, when you take him home with you, he's pulling at you.
I find that's also a humble thing, too, is like the lower that we get and the less that we feel even capable of handling a sermon or a radio show, we just realize, hey, that's God just speaking through us, or God just lifting us up and him getting the glory for it, because really we're in no shape whatsoever to be doing it.
You know, that's when we have to do it. You know,
you lean on him,
because
right?
that's when you need him the most, and that's when you have to do it, because otherwise you're giving in, you're letting him win, you're letting the enemy win, and you can't let the enemy win. But Pastor Phil's going to tell us of the greatest ashes to beauty story in the history of the world.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes we forget that when we look at our ashes to beauty story, or we're in the middle of that in some way and the thing's burning down, we forget that the greatest ashes to beauty story is going to be what Christ did in the crucifixion to the resurrection. I mean, when you read the gospel account, you see those people weeping totally convinced that their leader is dead and gone. And yet a few days later, they're rejoicing. Hundreds of people are seeing him risen. And so I think sometimes we can just look at the scriptures and say, wow, that's the greatest ashes to beauty story ever. I was also thinking about something that Matt said that I read that he said earlier. He said, I refuse to allow the pain to debilitate the voice that God has entrusted to me. So I think the ashes to beauty story, we should remember that it's not just ashes in the past and beauty now. It's an ongoing process. And those decisions, Doug, you mentioned before, are you have got to think how you're going to refuse to grow bitter that day, because God has entrusted you with the responsibility to share a story. And I think that's the beautiful thing about Matt sharing.
And we look at those ashes, and it doesn't have to be something to the it doesn't have to be to the magnitude of Matt's story, where he was drunk driving and he killed somebody, and it doesn't have to be to the magnitude of Doug's story, where he lost a child. It can be something that, you know, a constant struggle that we have in our lives, no matter what it is. And I mentioned a few of them, whether it's depression, anxiety, or some sort of addiction. People think of addiction and they automatically think drugs or alcohol.
True.
But we could be, people can have addictions to so many other little things. You can have addictions to social media. You can have addictions to just watching television. You could be addicted to whatever it is. These are all constant struggles, and all of them will make us feel broken at some point, because they'll affect relationships in your lives, and they will bring you down. But you got to figure out a way to rise up, and the only way to rise up, and we tell people this every week, every Thursday here on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio, the only way to rise up is Jesus.
Mike, when I relate to the guys that are in prison, when I'm talking to them, I get how you could turn to drugs, to alcohol, to find something to fill that void, to take that pain away. But again, that's a choice. And there's been times where it's like, hey, man, I wish I could take something and just take this pain away, you know, but you have to, you pray about it and you ask God to take it. And just because you pray about it, I heard a testimony from a pastor earlier, and he's like, you know, if God answered my prayer every single time I prayed, I'd be praying all the time. If I just made a request and God reached down and said,
can you imagine if you get everything you want every time you ask for it?
You're doing it all the time.
Yeah, no doubt.
But God asks you to wait sometime. That's the hard part. But that doesn't mean that we trust any less.
Well, and I think too, Rob, it doesn't have to be all. It can simply be something as simple as an expectation that wasn't met. So whether that's job, whether that's you go home and that's your marriage, whether that whatever that is, it's just simply an expectation that wasn't met. God uses that broken expectation often to redirect us, right? But we don't see it at the time. And so that's part of the beauty, the ashes to beauty story, I think.
Well, we could change the theme a little bit too, and says, why God? Like, why does God allow things to happen? And we've discussed that on our show many times before, but the answer, beauty from ash or ashes to beauty, is basically we see the beauty and we see the answer, but sometimes we're just stuck in the ashes, and that's not a fun place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're stuck in the ashes, though, when you're stuck in that rut, you can feel you have nothing. You can feel you have no hope, and that's when all these things set in. That's when depression sets in. That's when all the bitterness, because you can become bitter. And I feel that a lot of people in those moments will become angry at God, because now you look at him and you say, hey, I got nothing now. I'm reduced to ashes. Where were you?
Well, Phil, you've heard me say this a ton of times. When the more and more you listen to, whether it's Christian radio or you listen to songs, and a lot of them are, hey, I'm in my lowest point, or God put me in my lowest point. I'm like, I don't want to go to that lowest point again. God, don't break me again. Like, you can use me, but make sure that it doesn't hurt that bad again. Mm. Because it's awful to be stuck in the ashes.
Well, and the one thing I've always said that I try to encourage people with, Doug, is that because we believe in God, we understand that no pain is wasted. We may not understand how it's used now, but the agnostic or the atheist, they don't have any cause for the pain. It's just out there. But the Christian says, okay, God's going to use this in some way, even though I may not see it now or specifically right away.
Well, I like to get pruned every now and then. Just a little bit of pruning. Take a little piece off, take a little piece here, as opposed to cutting it out and planting a whole new tree. You know, we don't want that. I just trimmed some bushes the other day. I actually did it myself, Rob. Yeah, I didn't have anybody else do it.
Yeah, well, I've been hardscaping for about a month and a half now. So.
We haven't heard about that, really?
Yeah, a little bit. I complain about that a little bit. I got to figure out a way to get
somebody
over there.
But, you know, hey, I'm looking forward to Matt coming on. He's going to
Phenomenal testimony. And we're gonna go to break, and when we come back, we'll have Matt Mayer on to talk about his story, to tell his story, and like we said at the beginning of the show, he's going out there and he's having these conversations at high schools, at colleges. He's going all over the place, and he's having these conversations. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say coming up next. You are listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
Ranked one of the most beautiful Christian colleges in the world by Christian Universities Online, Eastern University is the place where you can advance your career with an empowering education. With several locations in the Philadelphia area and online classes, Eastern offers undergraduate, master's, and doctoral programs in business, education, counseling, and psychology, healthcare, ministry, and many other areas. Learn more by visiting eastern.edu. Brought to you by the Department of Kinesiology and the College of Health and Social Sciences at Eastern University.
Hey, we get it. You're facing a lot of pressure. You gotta make money. You gotta have a life. You're running your kids everywhere, and you have to keep it all together. Easier said than done, right? Well, not necessarily. We're not experts. We just understand the pressures people face, and our resources are here to help. Contact Biblical Strategies for help that can begin to make a real difference. Just go to biblicalstrategies.com. Biblicalstrategies.com.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Phil Moser, and joining us now on the phone is Matt Mayer. He was a soccer star from South Jersey, went to, as I said earlier, one of my alma maters, Temple University. He played for the Philadelphia Kicks, and then Matt made the worst decision of his life. And we're going to let Matt tell you all about that in a few minutes, because we're having some issues back there. So Matt's going to come on. He's going to tell us a little bit about what happened in his life. And Matt is here. He's with us. Matt, can you? It's great to have you on Faith on the Field show. We really appreciate you joining us right now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Honored to be here.
As I was saying in the open there in the intro, you had it all, man. You had it all. You had everything. You were, as you like to tell people, you were that guy, and you had it all, yeah. And then you made the biggest mistake, worst decision of your life. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what happened?
Yeah, you kind of prefaced it pretty well, Rob. Being born and raised in a strong Christian household, growing up, knowing the Lord early on, went into Christian school. I often say it was an intellectual knowledge for me in faith, and I kind of found myself thinking that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, but finding myself drifting away further and further from this conviction and foundation of faith that my parents had labored in. I was the youngest of four boys. So, of course, I followed in their footsteps, both academically and athletically, excelled in both those areas through high school, eventually full scholarship recipient to Temple University, continued that cycle of excelling. And all along the way, I say I'm still reading my Bible, I'm doing my devotionals, I'm leading the team in prayer, yet I'm complacent and I am compromising and I am not even close to where I should have been. But in hindsight, I know that in the moment, I'm going through the motions spiritually, and often say when you're going through the motions spiritually, do not be surprised when God allows pain into your life. Pain shakes us from the mold and the hold of the world, and that's what happened to me. I remember my junior year in college, the thing that kind of knocked me out of complacency temporarily was the death of my oldest brother. That was a tragedy that struck my family unexpectedly. I remember watching my mom and my dad navigate such a tragedy, yet witnessing a peace of God, a peace that transcended all understanding. And it was like my first taste of experiencing God as a young man. But wow. I went back to college, and I fell right back into that rut of the worldly ways. So I did have the definition of a success based on the world standards. I was drafted as a first-round draft pick to play pro soccer. I was following in the footsteps of my other older brother, Anthony, eventually made my way to the Philadelphia Kicks. And it was in that season where I was moving quick, fast, enjoying the hype, enjoying the attention that I was given as a professional soccer player, and finding myself again straying further into the world. And it was on March 7, 2009, that I made that fateful, egregious decision to drink in area bars in Philadelphia and then get into my vehicle. But I have to stop and digress. because it was earlier in that week, March 1st, 2009, in the last professional soccer game that I would ever play in the Philadelphia Spectrum. I tore my ACL and my meniscus, two ligaments in the knee completely torn. Surgery was scheduled the following week to repair it, and it happened that quick. But in the midst of all of that, I remember not trusting God. I remember having the conversation within myself about what am I supposed to do in this situation? And instead of falling back on my faith and trusting God like I was taught, I went the way of the world. And that was the night I went out, March 7, 2009, Friday night. And I never made it to my destination, Rob. I was responsible for an at-fault drunk driving fatality, which kind of goes without being said, unexplainable. The emotional roller coaster that I had put so many people on, including myself, directly and indirectly, a family who had no idea who they were through this experience, dealing with the loss of their father, my parents, my community, my teammates, and everybody connected to me. It was such an unbelievable, vulnerable time. I had nothing else to do except for turn back to my faith and pursue the heart of God with such passion. And I don't want anybody out there listening to think, wow, that sounds easy. It wasn't easy. There was this process of going through the legal consequences. There was this process of knowing that there was a life taken because of my decision. There was the weight and the guilt and the shame. It was the condemning eyes. It was the condemnation on my heart. It was so heavy. But through all of that, two words gave me peace, and it was be still. I remember continually saying, be still, as I meditated on scriptures, be still and know that I am God. And it was God's reminder that he controls all things. He is a sovereign God, and he had even this under control, even though it seemed out of control. So fast forward, January 7, 2010 was the day of my sentencing. I was looking at up to 10 years in state prison. I would stand before a judge. He would render down his decision. And in that courtroom, I would be able to address my victim's family. His name is Hort Kapp. He was a 55-year-old man from Cambodia. And I would be able to address his family, his children, for the first time in person. I had already written them letters begging their forgiveness and apologizing. And there I was. I turned to them. I start sharing my heart with whatever words came out. Just, I am so sorry. If I could trade places with your daddy, I would. And through tears, I turned to the judge. I apologized to him. And I sat down, and the proceeding continued. And then one of Mr. Hortcap's oldest sons got up. His name was Noon. And Noon began to yell at the top of his lungs at me and about how he heard of his father passing away. And if you thought the emotions of the courtroom were high, until that moment, they ramped up. And people, you could hear them moaning. And it was such a thick atmosphere, and he's yelling, and one of the things he said to me was, you destroyed my world, and he pointed at me, and I remember crumbling on the inside. I remember almost pleading with God, saying, no, Lord, no, not like this. Don't let it end like this. And in a moment, Noon began to change his composure. It was like heaven kind of paused him. He stopped. Literally, there was a silence, and then he said these next words to me. He said, but I forgive you, my brother. And he approached me where I was sitting down. The bailiff told me I could rise, and right there in the courtroom, we held hands, and then we hugged, and I whimpered in his ear, I am so sorry. And I often tell people it was the day that I was physically incarcerated, was the very day I was spiritually liberated. I was sentenced to 5.5 years in state prison, and Rob, I went away a man on fire, not looking back, and completely humbled that God would show up in the manner he did, something so uncommon and unexpected, and offering me the forgiveness I did not deserve was just a small illustration of what he's done with his son, Jesus Christ, giving us his very best, even though we've done our absolute very worst. And I did 55 months in state prison, and the ministry that was done in there, getting to interact with all types of people from all walks of life. And the theme really was, while I was away, you may be the only Bible somebody reads. And that theme was, guys might not go to church. They might not pick up the word of God themselves, but they'll pick you up. They'll pick your example up, your conduct, and they're reading you and watching you. And it was amazing how when your conduct is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, God is more than capable himself to reveal himself to other people. So I'm big today when I teach students or when I go out on the circuit and speak to share, you may be the only Bible somebody reads. And to be out for about 2.5 years now, I'm married. I go around speaking and sharing my story nationally. I'm part of a church in Ocean City, New Jersey. I oversee a ministry. It's like who am I, O Lord, that you're mindful of me and what I've done? And the more I give him my heart and my circumstances and my story, the more he makes much of himself. So I am humbled, Rob, to be invited onto your show just to share a couple chapters of what is called the Matt Mayer story.
Matt, and we're talking to Matt Mayer on Faith on the Field show, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. Matt, I read a story where you said that you were completely content being in prison, being behind bars, even when there was an opportunity to move you somewhere else, whether it was minimum security or whatever it was. You wanted to stay. You were fine there because of what you were doing, because of the ability to spread that gospel and share it with the other inmates. Tell me about that experience and how you were able to be so free in jail.
Yeah, and I actually crave that liberty and freedom and that peace, even in the real world today with the distractions and being in ministry, and you get so caught up. And I realized, wow, in isolation, one-on-one with God, I had such peace and such liberty that even though a gate was locking me in, I never felt freer. And, yeah, there was an opportunity to become a full minimum status inmate, which meant I could be released to a halfway house, work opportunity, street clothes, extra hours on visits, and possibly even furloughs, but through prayer and asking for God's will to be done. You see, at that time, the long-awaited status change every inmate waits for, and people were so excited for me. I had done 30 months at that point, and they were waiting for me to accept this status. And when I went down to classification, when I returned, everybody was excited. Like, you took full minimum. When are they going to ship you out? This is great. And I remember saying, I turned it down, and people were shocked. Guards were coming up to me saying, Mayor, are you out of your mind? Why would you stay in here? You got to get out of here when you get the chance. But I had felt so called to where I was on that housing unit, to lead a Bible study daily, to be the light in a dark place, that decision to stay brought me such peace. And you know, the irony, Rob, is about a week later, the full minimum unit that I would have been moved onto, there was an inmate who escaped, and the DOC does not look at that lightly. If somebody escapes, they shake things up. They shift out every full minimum inmate in that unit to other institutions across the state. So as I saw that happen, I said, wow, if I had accepted that status change, I would have been in another institution back behind the wall to go through the process all over again. That's what they do.
Wow.
So there I sat, smiling in my heart of how God's will knows best. When we stop and ask him in every situation, big or small, Lord, what's your will here? He puts it in our heart, and it's a peaceful step that we take, that we know we are in his will.
Amen. That's Matt, right. You had the opportunity to, while you were behind bars, Jason Williams, former NBA star, was also incarcerated. And did you guys, I believe, shared a cell, played basketball together at one point, and then you got in a little bit of trouble. I want you to explain this with a gang, and he kind of saved your butt. Tell us about that.
It was my first summer in the yard. Jason Williams and I we got along very well from the moment he arrived, being, you know, similar professions, background, basketball, soccer, similar personalities, him being a Christian, him being isolated and finding himself for the first time, being able to take his guard down and not having to perform for the world. And it was amazing how God placed each other in our lives. And I'm still in contact with Jay to this day, so I often talk about him. But, yeah, I got into a basketball game, and I love basketball. People don't know that about me. I played basketball in high school, was a good point guard. I loved basketball, so I'm playing. And I begin to just perform like I used to, and I'm making safe decisions. I'm passing. I'm setting my teammates up, and I could tell another guy on the other team, he was not liking the way I was performing. And his boys on the sideline were laughing because I'm crossing them up, and I'm hitting my shot, and they're all giving that, you know, the typical, oh, white boy, gotcha. And here I am sensing him and his irritation. So I kind of tame my, you know, back a little bit. Uh-huh. And I remember running around a pick, and I see out of the corner of my eye, he sneaks me. He hits me with a closed fist punch, knocks me out for like 3 seconds.
Wow.
I come to, I get up, not knowing any better. Again, Rob, being the youngest of four boys, being a former pro soccer player, being exposed to all levels of competition, I got right back up in his face. And the idea of getting in his face wasn't to fight him. It was just to say, you're not going to punk me like that. Let's check up and let's keep playing. But what I did not know was that was the violation of a gang cardinal rule, which meant you're not allowed to disrespect a gang member. So here's how sad this is. I'm the one that gets knocked out, and they considered me being disrespectful by stepping to him, or at least getting up and showing him that I wasn't scared. Long story short, a friend comes and grabs me, sees there's an altercation, takes me off the basketball court. Jason Williams is off to the side kind of watching this. I say to this guy who grabs me, I'm not worried about this guy. And he turns and says, Matt, are you out of your mind? Turn around and look. And all the guys that were laughing on the side of the court, they're all congregated now underneath the basket. And he goes, I say, so what? He goes, Matt, they're all Bloods. They're all gang members. They will kill you out here for what you just did.
Wow.
So Jason finds out there's a hit on me, literally. This guy has to take me out next time he sees me because I disrespected him. And I, you know, I'm saying that with sarcasm. And yeah. Jason meets with one of their OGs, their leaders, and says, hey, the soccer player, Matt, he's with me. He's cool. You know, you got to meet him and get to know him. And I'm asking you to take that hit off. So I sat here in the prison yard with an OG from Newark. His name's Livewire. And I talked to him. And it was that day that he took a liking to me. And he took the hit off my head. And it was like, it's such like a movie scene, but it was a real life story from prison. It's crazy, Rob. Really
wow.
Crazy.
That's incredible.
So, hey, Matt, my name is Doug. We really appreciate you coming on. Personally, I just wanted to encourage you with something that I've been showing for the last couple of years. I'm a college professor. I'm an athletic trainer by trade, and I believe you know one of my former colleagues, Jim Bollinger, with Philadelphia Kicks.
Yeah.
Yes. So I worked with Jimmy for years. He taught me when I was a student. I interned with him a little bit, and he actually mentors my students from Eastern University now. But when you went through the initial situation and your video came out, he sent that to me. And I just wanted you to know that I've showed that in every single one of my classes, especially in community
wow.
colleges, Cabrini College, Eastern University. And it has been so powerful, especially from a nutritional standpoint. We talk about alcohol and decisions. And
right.
I've just really appreciated you being so transparent. And personally, I just wanted to thank you and just let you know that as you continue to plant these seeds and you continue to speak, that there's people that you've never met, you've never engaged personally, that have heard your story, hundreds of kids. And just, you know, I see college kids in a 7-minute video in the middle of a class at the end of a 2-3 hour class just coming to tears and just relating to that. And I just
wow.
wanted you to know that personally. I've just really appreciated your story for years, and it's been a great source of just the ability to reach these kids and let them know that, hey, their choices do determine their destiny, and they got to be
sure.
careful. They got to be careful with alcohol. And I just personally just wanted to share that with you and appreciate you coming on for tonight. But
Matt,
Doug, thank you so much. Thank you.
I want to get a little more, because I love your stories, man, and I want to hear about little John Palladino. Because listen, I grew up in South Philly with a vowel at the end of my last name. So I grew up in the Nicodemo Scarfo era, Angelo Bruno.
Yeah.
I mean all around, and this is the environment I grew up in South Philly. And you know, it's John Gotti's at the height of the Teflon Don, everything he's doing in New York. And I read the books,
yep.
I watched the movies, and you got to know and kind of influence a former mob enforcer, little John Palladino. Tell me about that relationship.
That relationship, man, I could tell stories for days. I know time is short. Little John came onto our housing unit. I was already moved upstairs in the prison. Jason Williams and I were separated by the prison because they thought we had too much influence amongst the general population. So they moved me upstairs. There's a whole different story to that. I get on the housing unit, it's all gang members, and there's a bed vacant, it's next to mine, and they move in this guy named Little John, and he's a 330-pound brute, tatted up, bald head, limping onto the housing unit, 330 pounds, his arms are like clubs, and he literally walks onto the housing unit, and usually when you move onto a housing unit, you make your bed. That's what they say, you make your bed, you go into your area, it's your new home for the next X amount of years, that's what you do, not Little John. He throws his bag into his bed, and he goes to the back of the housing unit. And everybody's watching him. They're like, why is this guy doing that? Now, just a sidebar, whoever runs the TV is said to run the housing unit. And usually it's the gangs, usually the Bloods, usually the homie or the OG who has the remote. He controls the TV, and nobody touches it. If you touch the TV, they'll jump you, literally. If you change the channel, they will jump you. They'll stomp you in, and that's that. So everybody knows that unspoken rule. Well, Little John moves on to the housing, and he walks to the back and goes right up to the TV, and everybody just gets silent, and he starts changing it, Rob. He starts to change the channel. I turn to see what they're going to do. Nobody moves. And I often say, you know what he put on? You have any idea what he put on? And people are just waiting, like, what did he put on? he put on Animal Planet.
Oh,
and for the next 2 hours, he sat there and watched Animal Planet while not a single person moved. So
wow.
Fast forward the story, him and I get to know each other. I made him go back to that. I said, Don, when you moved on, why did you go into the back of the housing unit and change the channel and put on Animal Planet? He goes, Matt, whoever runs the TV runs the housing unit, right? I'm like, yeah. He said, who ran the TV that day? And it was like he was imposing his body physically and imposing fear upon the housing unit. So, again, long story short, what I did not know was Little John was watching me. I'd invite him to Bible study. I'd invite him to church, and he would basically say no. But what I did not know was with such a critical eye, he was watching me, critiquing me, analyzing me. One day he came up to me and he said, I just want to tell you something because I've been watching you. And that's one statement you just don't want somebody to say to you in prison. I've been watching you. And he said, I've been watching you. And then he said these words, I was hoping you would fail. I was hoping you would curse, hoping you would argue, complain. I was hoping you would get disrespectful, you'd fight. He said, I was hoping you would do something contrary to that book you read every morning, talking about the Bible.
Wow.
And he stopped and he looked me right in the eyes with tears and said, but you never gave me that opportunity. And it was like right there, that phrase that my mom used to say to me when I was a kid, you may be the only Bible somebody reads, it came to life. And Little John slowly but surely became interested in faith and this God that he had rejected his entire life, because he said everybody I've ever seen go to church, most of his life was in prison, he said they were hypocritical. They would do one thing, say one thing, and then do the opposite. So he was so turned off to faith, he persecuted it like Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And how God used me as a reflection of his son, I take no credit, because I said, John, I would have gave you so many opportunities if I was still the old Matt. But that person is dead and gone. And what you're seeing is the Lord Jesus Christ alive in me. And one day he came to the Bible study, and I asked him to read a daily bread, and he couldn't even get through the first sentence. He broke down like a baby. He sobbed in front of all these people, and he said, I want peace. And it was right there on that day where I talked to him about giving his life to Jesus, and there was no turning back for John Little John Palladino. So I say at the end of those stories, he used to be a soldier for the Godfather. Now he's a soldier for God the Father, and Little John is the one that wrote the foreword to a book that I have called You May Be the Only Bible Somebody Reads. So it's pretty amazing how God has put people in your life, and it's unbelievable.
Amen. You know, I used to say Goodfellas was the best mob movie and best story I'd ever heard. Now Little John Palladino and you telling that story is the best mob story I've ever heard. Man, that is incredible. And I know we have to let you go, but you're going to be speaking tonight in Ocean City, so you could tell us a little bit about that. And also tell us about Soldiers for Faith Ministries, some of your books and what you're doing and where people can be in contact with you.
Wow, so much going on. Really, the hub for contact is my website, themattmayerstory.com, and that's M-A-H-E-R, themattmayerstory.com. I'm the president of Soldiers for Faith Ministries. Tonight, I am speaking at my church, Coastal Christian, Ocean City, New Jersey. Those two worlds are colliding, interestingly, and you'll love this, on July 29th, Soldiers for Faith Ministries is sponsoring a men's gathering, all men, all ages, sixth grade, all the way to senior citizens, at my church in Ocean City. We're bringing in Victor Marks, an amazing man of God himself. His story is unbelievable. I met him in Colorado Springs last year. We're bringing him in, and I even have Little John coming down from North Jersey to convene with us. So I'll get to see him, and even about two or three other guys I was incarcerated with are coming down for this men's event. It's July 29th, a Saturday. So if you're out there and you don't mind driving and you're a man, you can bring your son, you bring your grandfather. It's going to be an amazing day. So, yes, traveling and speaking and sharing in public schools, private schools, speaking at my church every Thursday to the adult fellowship, just totally humbled by what God has done and what he's doing, taking beauty literally from ashes and recycling his good for his glory from my evil. I am humbled, Rob, anytime somebody asks me to share, and it's for God's glory alone.
Amen. We appreciate your time, Matt, and we wish you a ton of blessings in everything you do, all your endeavors, and just keep being you, man. Keep spreading that word and keep sharing Christ with everybody you can. Thank you for coming on Faith on the Field show.
Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, man, what a story. How powerful was that, huh?
Dude, it was even better than I even thought it would
right?
be.
Right? You know? And usually it's, you know, you have these interviews and sometimes they're going a little slow. And I just wanted to hear more because I wanted to, and he piqued my interest with Little John. Because, you know, did you know that? I grew up in South Philly and it was all,
I knew you did.
That environment. Yeah. And, you know, you're seeing all the movies and you're seeing all these guys. I mean, some of them, their kids are going to school with me. And it was kind of like, you know, everybody. That was like kind of hero worship. You looked at these mobsters, and then you see the movies come out. I was never really into The Godfather. It was a little bit before my time, even though I watched it. But Goodfellas and Bronx Tale, you know, they were good movies. And then Sopranos comes out.
He's got gangs and mobsters and NBA players, and he's dealing with all those guys. I mean, tremendous stories. And, I mean, can you get any more passionate?
Yeah.
I mean, for a guy calling in and kind of giving his testimony, like you could tell he's on fire, and he's speaking tonight too.
Yeah, like 7 o'clock, I believe, at Coastal Christian, he's speaking. And it's too bad that July 29th, Soldiers for Faith Ministry. I would love to go to that. I'm going to be in Michigan visiting prisons on the Deacon's Prison Ministry Crusade.
You might have to head down there though.
Yeah, that weekend you might have. All right, you might
have to go down.
Yeah, go down there and represent the show.
So that was awesome.
When we come back, we're going to get into a cross training segment with Pastor Phil, and we're going to get into a little bit more of that. And here, I want to hear about Brazil and hear some of your mission trips. So you are listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. Hey guys, it's Rob Motti. I want to tell you about a can't miss event that's coming up in a few months. I did it last fall. It's called Goliathon, and it's a ninja warrior type obstacle run that's tiered for all skill levels, which means you can run the event as a family or as a group of friends, even if you're at different fitness levels. The course is about 4 miles long with 12 tiered obstacles that are unique, challenging, and a load of fun. And the best part is all proceeds fund clean water projects in developing countries. The next Goliathon event is October 21st in Mullica Hill, New Jersey. Entry price increases are coming soon, so sign up today. Go to goliathon.com for details.
Guys hate to admit it, but sometimes things can start to feel a little out of control. We procrastinate, we battle with anger, and we start to worry about our finances. But we're here to help. At Biblical Strategies, we've spent over 20 years helping people begin to think about life with the help that God offers. Contact us for resources that can begin to help you today. Go to biblicalstrategies.com. Biblicalstrategies.com.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton, Pastor Phil Moser. But before we get into Pastor Phil returning from that trip to Brazil, we want to talk a little bit more about Matt Mayer's story. And how great was it? Was he going? You know, he must have been listening to Beauty, because I didn't tell him the theme of the show.
You didn't tell him at all.
I didn't tell, you know, I should have told him when I had the conversation with him before, but it slipped my mind to tell
he
him.
He gave it strong, too.
And he came right back and he said, "Beauty from Ashes." And I'm like, oh, he could do this thing.
It's like he knew he wanted to take us to a break, didn't he, Rob?
Exactly. Perfect.
He knows what he's doing, man. God bless him. Like, that's just amazing how God is taking his story. And even, you know, there's so many more questions we could have asked him. Like, I want to know about his relationship with the guards. I mean, when you're getting ready to leave and guards are literally being like, yo, you coming back? What are you doing? Like, I mean, you've been in prison.
He
was at
one of the prisons we go to. Up in New Jersey, one of my favorite prisons to play at. The field is beautiful. The inmates are really fun, and the crowd really gets into it, and it's a great game when
just
we play them.
Of them, Rob.
But
I can see you doing that too now.
I know I better be. I am not going in breaking up a double play next time we play there. That's for sure.
Somebody takes a knee to your head. Don't get up and challenge them. Right?
I'll be laying right there on the ground saying, "Help me off." So let me tell you guys a little bit about what I've been doing with my house. With my fencing,
are the rocks
my rocks, with everything else. But before I got to the rocks, first I took care of the trees, and then I needed a new fence because my old one was wooden, it was falling apart, and my wife, Remy, is very picky. She's really particular, so I couldn't just go out there and hire any fence company, bring them in, put up a fence. No, I had to make the right choice. That's why I went to Berger Fence Company in Sewell, New Jersey. They are South Jersey's oldest and most respected name in fence. Their crew came over in April. They installed a beautiful almond-colored vinyl fence with solar caps and all the posts. It looks incredible. Remy loves it. She's happy, so I'm happy. Thank you to Berger Fence Company. If you are looking for a fence, they can handle all your fencing needs. They will also customize that fence as needed in their fabrication shop right there on Main Street in Sewell. Only their qualified employees will install your fence. They don't use subcontractors. So call Ed Smith at 856-468-2300 and schedule an appointment today. Don't forget to ask Ed about your free gate when you purchase 100 feet or more of any fence. It's 856-468-2300, and ask for Ed Smith or check them out at BurgerFence.com. Berger Fence Company has served more than 48,000 satisfied customers over the past 63 years in the tri-state area. You could be their next happy customer. So, Pastor Phil, you wanted to get into Matt Maher's conversation a little bit more.
Well, sure. I was just fascinated by the fact that, you know, he spoke of the fact that when he got drunk that night and then went out and was in the accident and killed a man, that he was really discouraged because he'd had an ACL tear.
Yeah.
And it just struck me that I'm sure there's been other times of discouragement since then. I mean, you're not in prison without some degree of discouragement. And yet, remarkably, he didn't make the same wrong decisions later, or he hasn't made the same wrong decisions since then. It's not like he's been free of discouragement for the last however many years. So I was just fascinated by, and he kind of answered the question without me even asking it when he said, listen, I just came back to be still and know that I am God. I spent time in the Word. I began to grow in my relationship with the Lord. I got away from the complacency. I was just so encouraged to see that it just wasn't a one-time wrong decision, but it was right decisions after that.
Well, being still, I mean, that just takes it away from you. I mean, if you sit and just be still by yourself and you sit in that vacuum, then you get into a pity party. You feel bad for yourself and you think, woe is me. And then you start to look for other ways to fill that. But when you're still reflecting on the promises and the character of God, you can't think about yourself.
Well, and that's a wonderful verse because that's Psalm 46:10. It's the end of a psalm where you can see that the psalmist would have struggled with other areas of discouragement. But it says, be still and know that I am God, right? So there is this incredible reminder that our focus in being still is not on ourselves, but it's on the Lord. And I think that's really where Matt was.
In my head, when I was thinking to Matt talking, when he's in prison, I started thinking about Paul because, you know, he's encouraging other people while he's in prison. Mm-hmm. When he's writing letters to other people to encourage them, he's sitting there bound and chained in prison. And you know, Matt's there. He's like, hey, you know what? I could get out of here, but this is where God wants me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, that's just awesome.
That's the most incredible part of that. There's so many pieces of that story that you look at and go, wow. But the fact that he could have left prison. He could have been moved out, and he wanted to stay there. And he wanted to continue using that platform behind bars.
But he was very clear that he also spent a lot of time in prayer. He was very still about that, to really seek God's counsel and really to say, is this what you want for me as I make this decision? I mean, nobody else knew about it. They were expecting the guards expect him to go. His family expect him to go. So it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to stay here. Like, I'm going to make this decision. It's really the way he felt led.
Well, and I think he was purposeful in it. I mean, I'm reminded, Rob and Doug, of the end of Philippians where Paul says, listen, the servants in Caesar's household greet you. In other words, he had been in prison, house prison, and he had actually led people to the Lord who he never otherwise would have had an opportunity to meet. That's Matt's story, right? I mean, Matt is impacting guys that he never would have had a chance to meet or who had to watch him go through the suffering. This is also a critical point. We're in the ashes. We don't think about it. But people are watching us in the ashes.
Yeah, but if it's left to you, and this is what he even said too, the old Matt would have given you every chance to succeed.
Absolutely.
If somebody's watching you. But this is the new Matt, which is completely focused on God. But when you're making friends with gang members and mob members, like that's like a movie like you're talking
former
about.
Former NBA stars.
Former NBA stars, like guards.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if
right?
you've been, I mean, those guards don't want to be friends with you. Right, but they're going to be encouraged by it.
No, because when we go in there, we see those guards. They are not the friendliest type of people. Mm-hmm. But from Matt's personality, from the way he was acting back there, it was hard for anyone not to like him. Other than that, the one gang member who he was probably schooling in basketball. Other than that, everybody gravitated to him. And I think what's really important too is when Little John, and I love the nicknames. They got the best nicknames. When Little John says he's watching him. And he's waiting for him to say something. He's waiting for him to fail. Because a lot of us, even though we're walking the talk and we are Christians and there will be a moment where we'll slip up, where something will happen. But he didn't mess up, and at least he didn't do it in front of Little John. Mm-hmm. And that is the epitome of walking your talk and being an example of Christ and being what I say all the time is let people see Christ in you. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did for Little John. And to be able to transform his life is incredible.
But that goes back to our show last week when we talked about being an everyday missionary.
Yeah.
Like, how many people at work are watching you, waiting for you to slip up or to compromise your beliefs? But, you know, yeah, that's what we talked about. But going back to the guard situation, I have a friend, Mark Sedlowski, who is a corrections officer in North Jersey.
Wow.
And I would think, and Mark's a great guy. Mark's you know.
Can he get us in some prisons up there to play ball, maybe?
He might be able to talk to him.
Pull
yeah, he's a good guy.
All right.
But I would think that as a guard, you also have to be on your guard, because if you start getting too close to a prisoner, they may take advantage of you. And once a guard lets his guard down, like, that's going to be
that play on words.
That could, well, we're trying, right? But that could be very. It could lead to death. It could lead to a number of different things. So for the guards to actually trust him, I think that that's a bigger deal than we even think it is.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to say, hey, I trust you, and we're encouraged by you, and hey, what are you doing back? Right? It's not. There's a good relationship there, and I think if we see through that a little bit, it's even bigger.
I think it's fascinating that this whole story about Little John actually spawns the title of a book he just wrote, right? Like, how cool is that? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you very rarely get somebody like that to write the foreword for your book. But my daughter, Anna, because she was so encouraged by him by Matt when he was at her school, I didn't realize she had that book. She got that book just the other day.
Little John's
said,
or?
No, she got the book,
Matt's
You May Be the Only Bible Someone Ever Reads.
Right.
And she said to me, Dad, you can read this when I'm done with it. Like, you know, like, don't touch this book until I'm done with it. So I asked her, knowing he was going to be on tonight, I said, give me a line from the book, because you were reading it this morning. And maybe this is why he was able to handle the discouragement. One of the lines in the book is, the more you get into Scripture, the more Scripture will get into you.
That's pretty poignant. Say that again.
The more you get into Scripture, the more Scripture will get into you. And so when we face that discouragement or struggle, Rob, I think one of the lessons Matt learned was, listen, the more I'm in the Word of God, the more prepared I am to live it out. And he can't see Little John's story or Little John's tears or his confession and profession to trust Christ when he's going through it. He's got to live it out. And so that moment occurs at, you know, when he's lived it out fully like that. It's just a great reminder. I think we may have been more stumbling blocks than people directing someone to the Lord because of our actions or attitudes.
And that comment tells you that if you're not feeding yourself with the Scripture,
absolutely,
each and every day, and sometimes you need it more than once a day. Sometimes you need it two, three, four, five times a day. If you're not doing it in those moments of struggle, in those hard times, in those that's when temptation can come in. That's when the enemy, when he's hammering away at you, and Jesus is pulling the opposite direction, you may slip the other way because you don't have that to fall back on.
Well, and think too. You know, I think he didn't see the end of the halfway house. It's the story that he told about the halfway house, that all of a sudden they dispersed and put everybody back in prison again.
Yeah.
He makes a decision totally by faith, and yet God is directing that decision, that even a few months down the road, he's protected where he was by making a decision that seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. You know, a couple of weeks ago we had Bob Froese on, and Bob went through some certain situations, and he became a pastor. And, you know, guys that are in this professional spotlight, that as kids we all dream of being a professional athlete, right? I mean, if you ever asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, the whole thing is, I want to be a professional athlete.
Do you remember when you realized it wasn't going to happen?
Probably in college.
Yeah.
When I started seeing real guys hit baseballs, and I'm like, yeah,
the realization finally set in.
Yeah.
You're like, you
we actually
do
did
else.
At Eastern University. We had a guy, Matt Miller, who actually got drafted by the Braves. He was a big left-handed pitcher. He averaged about 11 to 13 strikeouts a game, depending on the season. But you know, I was able to catch him, and he was phenomenal. But he got drafted by the Braves, so it was pretty cool. But you know, When I look at Matt's website, which, you know, it's the mattmayerstory.com. It's posted on our Facebook feed for our Facebook Live. You can go there. There's a lot of good encouraging articles. There's blogs. But there's a quote that he has here. I'd rather stand alone with Jesus than sit in a crowd without him.
I was going to use that one for the social media post. Isn't that great?
He's got some just great quotes. And it's from a guy that's been in the spotlight for something that maybe we all dream of. He's able to say, you know what, that didn't fulfill me. You know, that actually led to me being more self-focused and making wrong decisions. But he's found more passion and more energy by serving Christ, even in prison, than
how,
he ever did on the
soccer
play.
How true is it that we often have to stand alone with Jesus? and if we don't want to be in the crowd, because it goes back to following the world. It goes back to, if you're going to stand up for your faith, if you're going to stand up for Christ, you're going to be unpopular. And sometimes people are not going to like you. And sometimes people are going to look at you and call you. I've been called in the past maybe 2 weeks, I've been called a Bible toter, a holy roller, and something else. And you know what? If those are the worst thing, if that's the worst that you could say to me, maybe I'm doing something right.
Yeah, but you know, you've been in the spotlight before. And you know what? If you stood in the middle of a soccer field with all those lights shining down on you and thousands of people cheering for you, like you talk about addictions before, like that could be addicting. And people don't know how to get over that. You know, we talk about, you know, getting a couple Facebook likes or a couple of comments on Facebook and saying, hey, you know, look, I've got 100 comments or 100 likes on my Facebook post, and all of a sudden you think you're a big deal.
Don't let me go off on that, because you know what's sad?
But there's so many things about it.
That we live in a society where that actually matters. And it annoys me that we live in a world where it matters. People will judge your value based on retweets, based on likes, and based on followers. And I had this conversation with Matt Carpenter from the St. Louis Cardinals maybe 2 weeks ago, and we'll have him on the show somewhere down the line. And I said, when you look at social media and when you look at the terms follower and all this stuff, just think of Jesus and how many. He had 12. He had 12 followers. That's all, and that's all that mattered.
And they all dissed him too, right?
At one point or another. At one point or another. So that's, you know, who cares about all these other followers? That's all that matters. Pastor Phil, tell us about
Before
Brazil.
Before I get to Brazil, there's one other person I think is really critical to the Matt Mayer story, and that's the son of
Hortcap.
Yeah.
Incredible.
When you think in terms of all that has happened and all that Matt has been able to do, a lot of it rest right in that moment in the courtroom where that young man gets up and goes over there and hugs him and says, but I forgive you.
If that doesn't happen.
There's a lot of this other stuff that doesn't happen. That's exactly right.
If that doesn't happen, I don't know what happens. You know what, Pastor
Phil? You can actually see that. If you YouTube him and you see his older video
that
I showed,
that's where I broke
amazing.
Down in that part.
Well, but here's the thing I was thinking of, Rob, and you know I can talk about Brazil later. Here's the thing I was thinking about. There are probably those who are listening today who are unwilling to forgive somebody. And they're unwilling to grant the person what this young man granted
for far less.
Absolutely. And they're unwilling. And I don't think they understand that they are playing a part in not letting the gospel go forward or not letting someone else's lives be touched because of their unwillingness to forgive. You know, that's just a commitment that we need to make. And I always like to tell people, listen, Ephesians 4 says, we should forgive one another as God in Christ forgave us. We forgive someone not because they deserve it, but because we didn't deserve to be forgiven, and God forgave us.
Amen. And, guys, we are wrapping up our 14th week, our 14th episode. Pastor Phil, we will get to your trip to Brazil next week. But if you missed any of our previous episodes, you can catch up on iTunes, because all those likes and follows and everything else we just talked about and saying didn't matter. Apparently they do. So subscribe to Faith on
reviews
the Field.
Reviews count, too. Yeah, we want to review it, too. So we would appreciate some reviews. So get on there, check it out.
I think that's one of the most important things is getting reviews. So download
only
Faith on the
ones,
Field.
Only really good ones.
You know
there,
what?
Right,
if you guys compliment, if you want to criticize, just bring it. I've heard worse. So download, listen at your convenience. We've had a ton of awesome guests on already: Mike Schmidt, Daniel Nava, Jared Eichhoff, Jenmar Gomez, Coach Dabo Sweeney, Deshaun Watson, Solomon Thomas, Justin Forsett. Who am I missing? Curtis Granderson, Mike Dunn, Steve Smith, Michael Vick, Bob Froese, and Ian Desmond. And tonight we had Matt Mayer. Where else can they find us, real quick, Doug?
Facebook, Faith on the Field, Twitter, Faith on the Field, and just go to our website on faithonthefieldshow.com.
And for Pastor Phil Moser, for Doug Horton, I am Rob Motti. Thank you to Eastern University and everyone else for sponsoring this program. Make a difference. Be a blessing.